Ready
Yes.
in Chamesh, Arba, Shalosh, Shtaim.
Yeah! Hey, yeah, yeah. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning ships, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast! With Christina P.
Oh, thank you for downloading, for watching this episode. With me today is comedian. Do they bring you up like a lot of comedians?
Sometimes, yeah. Like big old asterisks beside you. You have not got a penis.
Aisha Alpha, thank you for joining
Thanks
today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Oh, yay,
they're clapping for you. Well, you're coming to plug your new CD, All the Parts.
Yes.
It's downloadable.
All the places. So it's on iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, Google, Amazon. All Things Comedy produced it, so it's on their spot. It's on my website.
Perfect.
You can't escape me.
You can't. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to get into you and your whole world,
yes.
And you're a new mom. I mean, you've got an 11-month-old boy, and
yeah.
That comes with so much. But before that, most importantly, we got to do some follow-up topics. But number one, my Tumblr. I hate when people say this shit, when they're like, so many of you have been asking. I'm such a douchebag. But in realness, people were emailing me asking, can I get one of these? And so I made them for you. There they are. The official Where My Mom's At Tumblr. You can buy it at merchmethod.com/TomSeguera. And you put your hot liquids, you put your cold liquids in there. It's fantastic.
That's also a very sexy picture of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, they're very rare. When I can tolerate myself in that way. You know how it is being a comic. I don't know if you have a problem. Do you have a problem being sexy?
Well, I don't think I ever am sexy because I feel like I'm about to fall on my face at any moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Some people are into that. So maybe that's why it's sexy.
Right. That's true. But I think it's being comfortable with who you are at all times.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate sexiness.
And I think there's something. One time someone told me seeing a woman who's comfortable enough to listen to music with her eyes closed and laugh with her head back is the sexiest thing. And I was like, oh my God, I do that. Oh my God, I do that.
Oh, you did it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. I like that.
I like that.
It's really smart. So listen, there's a lot going on in the world, but most importantly, cloth diapers. We've been...
That's the best lead-in.
Listen, we know we're going to get to the real shit, but guys, I mentioned cloth diapers on the last episode. That Kat Von D, do you know who she is? Do you follow her?
Mm-hmm.
I follow her on the gram.
Ooh.
And can I tell you what the best part about Kat Von D is that she's like super goth, right? Like,
uh-huh.
She's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And then her husband, Prayers, he's a cholo goth. He makes cholo goth music. Yeah.
And his name is Prayers.
Well, no, his band is Prayers. Oh, Leofar is
okay.
His name. What do I find?
I was like, Prayers?
Shit?
What a name.
Yeah.
I love it.
But I follow them on the gram and they really adhere to a goth guideline.
Uh-huh.
Like the baby wears goth.
Oh, wow. And
onesies.
Has like little baby eyeliner underneath and stuff.
It's like the Addams Family. Yeah, it really is. And everything's black in the house and there's a red piano. It's a nightmare for
it.
A child. Yeah. So, excuse me. Also, Kat Von D was saying that she uses cloth diapers. Do you use cloth diapers?
No.
No. Why? Why do you think? Let's discuss it.
Because the thought... I mean, like, I'm already going to have so much shit on me. The thought of putting that, like, I'll just rinse this in. What sink have I got that I want shit covered in? I'm going to put it in the laundry. It's never going to be clean enough for me to put any of my clothes. It's like I have to be kosher with, like,
right.
One shit, like, laundry set and one regular laundry set. And I just don't have that kind of money.
Oh, my God. That's the best. That's 100% right. Like, you would need a dedicated shit.
A shit laundry.
Washing machine. Because I've even had children vomit on sheets, and I'm like, throw them out. Throw them out.
Burn them.
Throw them out. I've got Amazon. I can shop on fucking buy the cheapy $11 ones anyway.
What is it that people, like, why? They think that they're going to save so much money, but does it save time? Because time is money. You have to rinse it. You have to do all this stuff.
That's right,
Aisha. The babies have a heavy diaper. Their butt's like 15 times the size. And I'm not against the big old butt, but like for a baby trying to crawl, that's a lot. That's a lot to put on them.
You're right. I mean, in my perspective, it is a cost-benefit analysis.
Totally.
It's a time versus energy versus...
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, some people are more invested in the environment. than I am. Mm-hmm. And I get it. And I really, I admire it.
I get it. I get the environment. Okay. Like, I get it.
I got it. But like, I don't care enough. Maybe that's me. It's a character weakness.
There's a difference between I will bring cloth bags to the grocery store and I will put a cloth bag on my baby's butt and then use it again. Like I also don't remember mine. I have like a.
Right. That's the problem.
I'm just buying more and more cloth bags, which possibly is even worse for the environment than just reusing a plastic one.
Yes.
But yeah, I hear you. It's hard to bring that into your home.
Well, okay. Well, because I had so many questions. How does one use the cloth diaper? And somebody kindly sent in a tutorial video. So here it is. This is how they use. This is a guy. He's telling us how he does this. So for those of you just listening, it looks like there is a funnel and there is a dirty nappy clipped to the funnel, and the funnel is in the toilet. So that kind of that cuts out the sink thing.
Okay.
And then okay, let's play the audio.
Hey mommy Christine.
That sounds dirty.
Heard you were looking to find out how to clean out cloth diapers. You know, if we're not making poutine that night, then we usually just clean them out and call it a day. So the way we do it is we got this spray pal that you clip the diaper into.
Spray
and
pal.
Then you get this little spray nozzle.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Turn
I mean,
on
I,
down here.
A nozzle and the funnel. And
you have to have a bidet, apparently.
Yeah.
You spray the little feces right out of there. Which is a shame, you know. If you're not making poutine, then it just doesn't last long. So yeah, you spray it out and then you just, throw it in the pail and clean up the water.
Just 10 easy steps. Yeah. You find the funnel, attach the funnel to your toilet.
You install a very complicated water system. It sprays very...
Right. Get the hose. You just got to call a plumber. He's going to install that. And then, you waste. And here's the deal. I've got 2 little boys, 2 and 4. So in the time I'm doing that, mm-hmm. both boys have already... turned everything upside down, thrown shit down the stairwell. You know what I'm talking about.
And possibly shit again.
Right.
So it's just like never, you just put one away and then you take another. It's
right.
a lot.
It's
That's
not,
a lot.
This still doesn't work for me. But again, I admire anybody who dedicates themselves to the, because look, dude, it is a huge waste. And I don't like knowing that I'm increasing landfill waste, but I also, like convenience. So there you go. So second up, a lot of blowback on my Birkenstock bashing. And you, tell me your thoughts. I'm with my friend Leanne Kreischer. She wears them. And I'm like, look, as a mother, as a woman, the only thing I'm looking to do is get through motherhood and not cut my hair short, like get a Karen cut, and not wear fucking culottes.
They don't look good on anybody.
They don't look good on anybody. And I want to maintain my sexuality somewhat. Mm-hmm. So I fear the Birkenstock is one step on the Karen highway.
I got it.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
What do you think? Tell me your thoughts. Go ahead.
I understand the broad hatred of Birkenstocks, mostly because I hate seeing people's feet in general.
Sure.
Right? And I think men, never.
Never?
There's never a time.
Nor should they ever go sockless. Oh, I think nothing makes me want to vomit more than a ankle showing and like sweaty.
It's like seeing someone's upper thigh on a man. I don't want to see it.
Oh my God.
Don't show me your ankle. Put a sock around that.
Oh my God.
Right? There's too much.
It's my eyelid is twitching because it's so angering.
A man who is not currently on the beach or currently in the shower at the gym who's wearing a flip-flop, I will punch you in the throat. I'm
Amen.
Done with it.
God bless you.
It's just, it's disgusting.
Now, explain to me why. Give me your logic because I have my own.
I grew up with a father, a Nigerian father, who has never washed his hair, never mind clipped his toenails, never mind taking care of his feet ever. There's talons. It's disgusting. And I was always like petrified of seeing them.
Right.
I don't need the assault of a stranger's talons coming at me from every direction. I didn't ask for that. I do not consent.
Your dad had those Nigerian feet.
Oh, he had Nigerian feet. Still has them.
Yeah, still has them. My stepdad was from India and he had Indian guy feet too.
Oh.
They were like always, his toenails were always yellow and crusty, and he never,
and yeah, just long what and curled that? And yellowing, and yeah, the heels, you're like, you don't need shoes with heels like that. Just walk on the rocks, but with your own feet. Like, why? Right. It's just right, crazy.
Yeah, that's an immigrant dad thing. I don't know. But I'm for a pragmatic thing with the flip-flops, is that we live in a major city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is Los Angeles. There's hypodermic needles on the ground. There's rocks. There's bum juices. There's everything.
The bum juices.
Yeah, there's nasty shit. And I don't mind seeing the feet as much as I do the unhygienic.
Yeah.
You know how much shit you can catch?
Well, you can literally have shit on your foot when you walk down the street. It's disgusting. Everything about it is disgusting. And then in America, this is not a Canadian thing. In America, people wear their shoes inside, which to me, I'm like, what is up?
I don't like that either.
I can't understand people walking on carpets, putting their feet up on chairs.
And my baby's crawling on the same carpet.
Why don't you just kick my kid in the face with your dirty ass feet?
I agree. It's an assault on my hygiene.
Kick me outside.
How about that? How fucking about that?
Yeah.
I agree, because I lived with a Chinese guy for 4 years before I married.
I love, why did you have to whisper that?
I lived with a Chinese guy. It's a secret. It's a little bit of my secret.
Okay.
I don't really like Tom to hear.
He's never going to hear.
He doesn't want to hear about the exes.
I got you.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Thank you. But let me tell you, because Chinese people take their shoes off when they come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my parents grew up, when you come home, you take off the outside clothes. You should take off the clothing that you're wearing and put on your home clothes.
Okay.
It's a similar idea. Take the dirt of the outside world off before you come in. Anyway, I got in the habit from the Chinese guy because it was brilliant. Why am I going to carry in
Take off your clothes but leave your shoes from outside on in the house?
As a child, no, we took them off. But it wasn't as clear. Like, the Chinese guy made me take the shoes off, put them by the door. There was a designated place, and it was a routine. It was a thing. And I was like, that's so smart. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't grown up with that way of thinking of, like, yeah, why would you walk around in your nasty shoes?
Yeah.
It's nasty.
But you stepped in weird stuff. I think because in Canada, there's snow and it's slushy. So you just take your shoes off all the time. But I remember watching on TV and being like, Americans don't take their shoes off. They go on a bed and put their feet up, and their shoes are so dirty. They're so gross.
It's so gross. Now, you're from Canada. Where are you from originally?
Well, I was born in Nigeria, but I grew up in Canada, mostly in Winnipeg.
Love it.
Yeah, and then moved to Toronto before I came here.
Love the T-Dot.
The T-Dot.
Best.
416.
I love Toronto. Now, the thing is, did you grow up with the show 15? That was our Canadian... No.
15?
It was a Canadian show, and it taught you, they were all Canadians, so they all said a boat, and I fucking knew it wasn't an American production. Like, they tried to pass it off like it was an American show.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, no, dude. And they didn't put ice in their drinks and shit. I was like, oh, no, fuck, I know you 15.
It's cold enough in Canada. They're like, just drink the liquid.
You had it for a minute there, 15. I don't know how you got cars. You had it there. 15. There it is. 15.
Oh, I have never. No.
Oh, my God. It was such a chaste, like, teen. They were the most innocent 15-year-olds. Like, by the time I was 15, I was already, like, banging my boyfriend, doing acid.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When I was 13, all the people in my grade did acid, and I was the only one who was like, I was on a trip because everyone else was on acid, and I was like, what's happening?
That's crazy.
No, I grew up on Degrassi. Did you guys ever watch Degrassi?
Hilaire, of course.
Okay, I was on that show.
What?
Yeah, like later on. I was a teacher. Later
Google,
on in life.
Google, Aisha Alpha.
Ms. Grell, everybody. I had weird fans that used to message me and be like, what would you do to me if I was in detention? Oh,
this
it was wonderful.
Is amazing. There she is.
There I am.
Beautiful.
Ms. Grell, Degrassi.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Look at you. My friend Raina is a huge fan. I bet she's freaking out right now. So back to the Birkenstocks, most importantly, what's your views on them and how do you find them to be appealing?
So
I just don't understand.
I think that only women can wear them, number one. And also, I think that because Birkenstocks are so associated with like hippies and like dirty.
Filth.
Yeah,
smells,
filth, not washing, all this stuff.
Foot smells.
And so it's all kind of wrapped up in that, but there are I have put on Birkenstocks and found them to be quite uncomfortable, but there is a French company called Mephisto that has
The ones with the bottoms
they contour to your feet more. They're like not just flat like a Birkenstock, they're actually like great for your arches and your feet.
Oh, I need that.
And I have ones that are not just those basic bitch strap, like one strap across. They're like quite, you know, groovy, fun little things.
The Mephistos, you're saying.
Mephistos.
M-E-P-H?
M-A, yeah, M-E. There we go. Oh, these are, okay. First of all, those are like super dad shoes. Those are horrible. But they do make a lovely Birkenstock-esque looking shoe. Trust me, because I have them. But
so this is essentially like, yeah, there's Vionic too, which is another. These are essentially orthopedic shoes.
They really
moms.
Are. They really are. But they're okay. So some of those are real ugly. But the I'm not really doing anything for my own sex appeal right now. But like those are the ones I have in a dark brown. Okay. Can I tell you, they're so comfortable. They stay on your feet. You're not doing the shuffle thing. They don't look as bad as Birkenstocks. But I totally get it. I get it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll share a dirty secret.
Yes.
Soon. Okay. Google Vionics. V-I-O-N-I-C. Vionic sandal. I'll show you the jam I'm into. I just don't like the earthy look.
Yeah.
The earthiness of it. I think because I lived in San Francisco. I would never fucking wear those. Fuck off.
They're horrible. Those are like your aunt. Ew, she like never got. Those are amazing.
That's the menopause sandal right there. The official.
When you have leather sandals that have Velcro, that's a bad combo. You can't have leather and Velcro in the same sandal.
So ugly.
Look at the pose, though. Look. Sexy. No.
Not sexy. You can wear them with your culottes. That's it. Oh, that's what I had. Spring faves of celeb fitness trainer. I had those when I was pregnant with my second kid.
That's the thing, though. You have to wear open shoes when you're pregnant if you can because your feet get so big.
So swollen.
It's like impossible.
And I need the arch support because my arches just got screwed. Because I got so fat with both pregnancies. I gained so much weight
when I got.
You did?
Oh, it was like my doctor halfway through was like, so we got to just keep track of this because you're kind of at the weight you're supposed to end up at in your midway. And I was like,
Yes.
Like I didn't care at all.
100% the same. At 5 months, they were like, so... You got to slow down, bitch.
Yeah.
Because I think people, they tell you things like you're eating for two, and that's really not necessarily the case.
Not at all, especially in the beginning. Yeah. Right? It's like this baby is literally this big, and I'm eating two steaks. Yeah.
But you're so hungry.
Yeah.
Because your body really is running a marathon every day making this child. But I ate crap. Like, I was doing Carl's Jr. twice a week.
Can I tell you, I
so fucking good.
Brought a suitcase. I'm not lying. Not a suitcase. A cooler. A huge cooler full of gourmet popsicles from Portland to L.A. because I was like, you know, I got obsessed with things and I'd be like, I can't have one. I need 50.
Yeah.
And I brought home 100 popsicles. And then did a bitch get gestational diabetes?
You did?
100%.
Fuck.
And so for the last bit, I couldn't have anything I wanted. And I was so angry for the last trimester. I was so mad.
That's my nightmare because I failed my first test with the first one. And then I had to come back and do the 4-hour shits. So
it was
fucking failed.
I failed it hard too. Like they were like, this isn't even like questionable. They're like, it went so high and then stayed there. And I kept telling them, like, I think that's just how my body works. Like, I think it's just always been like this. And they're like, no, stop eating the popsicles.
So it was the popsicles. And, like, what else were you?
Well, when you have it, like, what you don't realize is everything. Like, starch. So pasta. Can't have pasta. All I could eat was a chicken salad with the chicken. No. Like I was a bodybuilder or something. Like, just chicken salads, like, broiled chicken. And my husband will tell you, I was very, very angry for, like, the last couple of months. Because I couldn't eat anything I wanted.
And that's the best part of pregnancy is you can finally be like, I need this. I need.
I can sit on the couch and eat KFC off my belly.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
But here's the good news. I mean, towards the end, the last month, you really can't eat a lot because your organs are so small.
Yeah.
You didn't miss out on too much eating in the last.
Yes, that's true.
Trimester.
Anything I ate, I don't know about you, but when I went into labor too, I threw up everything I ate.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I was like I had food poisoning, but then it was just actually a human.
What? They're like, you're like, do I have botulism? Right. Oh, it's a baby.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
So let's back up the 10,000 steps. So you're married to Josh.
Josh.
How long have you guys been together?
We have been married for a year and a half. We're super new.
That's adorable. And how long had you dated before you got pregnant?
We dated from 2016 and then we got married in 2018 and then we got pregnant 3 days after our wedding.
Boom.
And we're like, I guess now forget the honeymoon stage. We're in it. So it's all been like from like single independent lady to mom who's married like in a year
you
and a half,
did
2 years.
It all.
Yeah.
Because usually there is a stage like that first year of marriage. You're really just getting used to being married and dealing with those struggles like finances or family differences and
totally.
How you guys are going to. So that is quite real fast. And then to go right into baby, because baby throws a huge wrench into anybody's relationship.
I think it was kind of good for us because we didn't have to struggle through the things that were hard of learning each other. Because
had you lived together before you got...
We lived together before, so but that was the first person I'd ever lived with in my life. I've never lived with anybody. So this was like all of this at once. But we lived together for a bit, then we got married. It was like all in quick succession. So like it was all just together. There was never like stage one of like figuring it out and then stage two and then stage three. It just was like, boom, all done. You know, like he'll be a year in a little bit and I'm like, great, we've done all the hardest parts. And now let's just get to... like climbing upwards now.
Toddlerhood's the so much better.
Yeah.
I don't know about
you. We're going to have another one and it's just going to start all over again. So
it's the worst.
But I can't wait for him to like walk and talk and, you know,
yeah, all the fun. It's so much fun when they can walk. Is he so 11 months? Is he like cruising on furniture yet or still crawling?
The other day he like took his hands off and was standing and started clapping and then like fell over. But we're like, oh, he's about to walk right away. Yeah. So it's a beautiful, magical time.
That is very special. Yeah. And do you have a mom? Is she in the picture?
My mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My mom lives in Canada and Josh, his mom's alive. She lives in D.C. So, but none of our family lives in L.A. So
that's different.
We're solo. Yeah.
That's so hard. Same with us. We don't have family nearby.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Did you like your mom? Like, are you guys cool?
Yeah, we're like cool. We've had lots of, you know, this stuff. But I think having a kid, then all of a sudden you're like, oh snap. Like my mom is so strong. Like my mom she's the whitest white lady in the world. Like she's see-through. She's so white. It's like ridiculous. She lived in Nigeria and gave birth to us. And at the time they wouldn't let anyone else in. So it was just my mom in Nigeria in like 1980 giving birth. Like crazy. That's crazy to me that she's from like some small farming community in Canada. So I'm like, wow, the strength of my mom is like coming through to me now, realizing all that she went through.
Oh, yeah.
And that I'm like going through some of that now.
Well, that immigrant stuff really adds a layer to everything, doesn't it? Yeah,
totally.
Like to be in another country and do the things even you coming from Canada and now you're here and you're making your career and you're it's like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So your mother... Where did your parents meet then?
They met in Winnipeg at university. My dad came from Nigeria. My mom was like the only person in her family or community to go to university. And they met and 6 months later got married.
Wow.
What? Yeah. And my mom was 19. Like it's crazy to me. And they're still together. Like it's...
What?
1973 they got married and they're still together now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so she went to Nigeria.
Yes. She moved to Nigeria, had both my brother and I. They moved to Australia for a while before I was born. And then they came back to Canada because they both wanted to live in Canada.
Why Australia?
My dad did his PhD in Australia.
What
in Sydney.
Is he a PhD in?
My dad has his PhD in engineering and my mom has her PhD in microbiology. Like, it's ridiculous. God, and then so I am smart. A comedian. Yeah. And my brother's a radio host. They're what? Yeah.
That is so funny. I'm always so, like, blown away when people have real jobs and brains like that.
Right?
He's a fucking engineer, dude. And, like, Chris is super smart. He can do math and stuff. We're always like, Chris is a smart one. He passed Algebra 2. He did calculus. That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So is he? He's an engineer, and then mom.
So my mom's a microbiologist, and they're both retired now.
God. Yeah.
They're both like just chilling, but they both get like brought around the world to give lectures on the things that they studied and do research. Like they're both like top of the field in their field. And my brother and I both did really well in school. We just were like, we don't need to do that stuff. You know?
Because you kind of do the opposite of what your folks do. Sorry, am I kicking you? No. Wow. Okay. So you decide to become a comedian. And are your parents like, awesome, we came.
Like, we sacrificed everything and you're okay. I used to have a joke about this, when I was a kid, I thought I wanted to be a prostitute because my parents explained it to me as like, sex is this great thing and money is this great thing and prostitutes have sex for money. And I was like, amazing. That's what I'll do then. And then when I realized, you know, and I did all kinds of things before I started comedy, but and I had a joke about how when I realized I wanted to be a comedian, they were like, you don't want to try the prostitution thing first. Like, just give it a go. There's more money in it. But no, they're super supportive, which is weird. Because they're just like, we don't care what you do. Just whatever you do, you have to do it. Like, go for it 100% and put everything into it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because they're like, if you don't, then we won't want to support you. But if you want to be like a bricklayer, be the best bricklayer who's ever laid a brick, you know?
Thank you. I've always said that. And I think what's so attractive, I always tell girls that ask me, like, how did you find your husband? I go, when I met Tommy, he was broke as a joke. We were both broke. He slept on a mattress on the floor. He didn't even have fucking soap in his shower. But you know what? He had drive and ambition and discipline. And like, if you're going to be a garbage man, be the best fucking garbage man there is.
Totally.
If you're going to be a comedian, go for that. That is like the best advice to give any kid. I think
and it's
go
like,
for it.
They have support. Like, they come to shows and they have no clue what's happening. Like, when I was like, I got Just for Laughs, and they were like, so we're going to have potatoes at dinner. And I was like, great. But they come and they support. I have a whole section about my dad's dick. And my dad's like, I'm the dad. That's me. Like, he has no clue. People are like, are your parents here? I'm like, my dad is there. My mom is there. My like daycare teacher came. My principal from like high school is there. So they're just great. They're
great
in that
way. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you talk about his feet?
No. This is the first time I've talked.
Yeah.
Imagine this is what he's offended by, not the dick talk.
Like, my feet.
But...
You mentioned my fucking feet. What's his accent? Do his accent.
He doesn't have a Nigerian accent. He has like this weird hybrid because he's lived in so many places. And I always just do a Nigerian accent when I talk about my dad. But like, he's like, that's not how I sound. And I'm like, I know.
But
I can't
do it.
For
clarity for the audience, it's probably easier to just do a Nigerian.
Totally.
Because
I talk about how he's Nigerian. So they're like, they expect that. I can't do his actual accent because I don't hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've just grown up with that. And then other people say your dad has an accent. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And there are words that I grew up saying incorrectly because my parents said them incorrectly.
Right. Exactly.
Like, what's that fucking word Tom corrected me on? Oh, combative. It's not combative.
It's not?
Combative.
I've always said combative. It just has a better ring. Combative. Combative. It's like more, you know, it's more combative to say it that way.
And, you know, like martyr, my mother would say, oh, don't be a martyr. So I'm like, oh, a martyr.
It makes sense with the spelling, though.
A martyr. So there's so many things. If you grow up in a house, you just don't.
Yeah.
And like, well, at least your mother was Canadian. So she was like dialed into the culture.
Yeah.
So it's some touchstone to reality.
And her whole family is like. Very like they're Canadian. They all live in Canada. They all like lots of them are farmers or like, you know, my uncles are hunters. Like they're like real like white dudes in the bush kind of thing.
So
whom
crazy.
I love. And then my dad's family is all still in Nigeria. Like it's just such a different experience on both sides.
I don't think I've ever met someone that has such different parents. Mm, like that is really, really unique.
Yeah.
Usually both parents are from this, especially Nigeria is so far and remote. You're God.
His family was like, don't marry the white devil. And his and her family was like, don't marry the N-word. Like they literally would use that,
really?
Right? Oh, yeah. There was like neither one of their parents wanted them to get married. And I was like, why did you, like you were 19. You met this guy in 6 months later. You're like, screw you guys. I'm off to Nigeria. Like,
which is bold.
But bold and like strong of them to have to go through all of that stuff and fight for all that stuff, which we're all like, it's all back. You know what I mean? It's all back. Fully.
It's all
not
back.
It's never left. It's just, you know, but they lived through all that stuff. So
you don't by any chance watch 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, do you?
I have watched 90 Day Fiancé like a couple of times and I was like, are you telling me I dated my husband now for this like many year and a half and it could have just been a 90 day thing where I'm like either married. I had my green card before I met him. Why didn't I just wait and then get it with him?
Green card. That would have
saved $10,000
easily. So the point being that this lady over here falls in love with a Nigerian man. He's a rapper. He goes by Soulja Boy, not to be confused with
Soulja Boy. Or is it to be confused?
But she's like, he's a celebrity in Nigeria. He has 20,000 Instagram followers.
Oh my god.
And she's like 50 and white and haggard and blonde, but like real bad bleachy. She looks like shit. The point is, he Usman, that's his name, Usman, and what's her name, look it up, Usman, and now it's gonna kill me. She looks like Yoda. She's so disgusting. Usman, Lisa, baby girl. Baby love. He calls her baby love. And so they go to Usman's mother to ask permission because in his village, the mother has to give consent before you can get married. And Usman's mother was like, no way. No way.
Yeah,
goes,
of course.
Because Lisa wants to take him to America. And the mother, the Nigerian mother goes, yeah, but They hate black people in America. They'll make him a slave.
And where's the lie? And where is the
That's
lie,
what I'm
right?
saying. Yeah. So even Usman's mom in Nigeria, in a small village, there she is.
Oh,
there's
wow.
baby girl Lisa. What do you think? She's hot?
She looks like who Charlize Theron was playing in Monster, right? In that picture, at least?
Eileen Warnick or whatever. Yeah. I look like her, too, sometimes when
Don't
I wake up.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
So there's Usman. They ended up getting married. Unbelievable. And he's cute, but she's horrible.
I mean, there's also such a big... Nigeria is such a red flag. Like, I have that on my passport that I'm born in Nigeria, and you can pay to have it taken off because it's such a red flag.
Really?
That I get stopped all the time, and, like, whenever I would come to America before I had my green card, I would get pulled into secondary questioning for hours on end sometimes.
What?
It's such a big red flag. And the thing is, like, I get it because there's scams and all the stuff that comes out of there, but, like, Nigeria's, like, got the highest population, I think, in any country outside of, like, China and, like, India. Like, it's, like, there's so many people that are also the exports. Like, if you collected right. all the Nigerians and put them in one, there's like 150 million people. And just in Nigeria, never mind all the people who are elsewhere. And I'm like, there's not a lot of opportunity. So they're just like the best entrepreneurs in the world, but they just don't have the opportunity. So they're like, let's scam. And they're successful. Like, I'm like, let's at least give them their props, right? They've made a name for themselves.
I know. Well, necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly.
And I say that too on this 90 Day Fiancé. I'm always like, hey man, I get the hustle.
Yeah.
Like, he's just trying to get the fuck out of his small village
yeah.
and come to America and be Soulja Boy. I don't hate on him. And look, the nice blonde lady's getting laid. She's getting what she wants.
I hope so.
And it's mutually beneficial. But anyways, so you're this Canadian. You just got here essentially 2 or 3 years ago. You've got this beautiful new baby, beautiful husband. And so how's motherhood? And then let's talk about how motherhood is under current situation. So right now we're recording this. What is it, June 3rd, and protests are still erupting all over our country. But let's take a step back. Motherhood in general. Did you have the postpartum depression? How did it go for you?
I think I had, I realized I'm pregnant depression for a hot second in the very beginning, because it's like, it happened really quickly. And I was like, oh God, my career is over. You know what I mean?
Oh,
as soon as I found
too.
Out.
Yeah.
And then it was a really like, and then I felt guilty about that because I was like, I don't want to put bad juju into my womb right
yeah.
now. And then I was really like, I loved being pregnant. Like loved it. Loved performing. It was my favorite. And then when I had him, I was on a huge high. I was just like, it was like I had taken drugs for like at least a month or two. And then I fell off. And it was like a real sharp dive into being really angry at the world for how unfair people are to women. And then looking at even things that had happened in my relationship, it was like everything that had ever gone wrong, that I'd ever felt was unfair, was glaring. And I was like, I can't believe that like my husband ever did this. I can't believe the world ever treated me like this. Like just like going off. And then it went from like anger to just like absolute sadness and feeling alone and feeling isolated. And then I joined some moms groups because I hadn't done that, and connected with people, and I was like, am I crazy? And they're like, oh no, we all feeling that, like it's okay. That was what I needed to hear.
Well, that's okay, because I'm always on the quest to articulate what thatness it like what that is, what you're talking about, the injustices. First of all, I understand that now we're trying to extend and open our eyes to gender and what is gender? Is it all societal construct? Is it some of it is nature? Whatever the fuck. But you have a baby and you're like, oh, no, there are some things in gender. I'm the one with the tits.
Yep.
So I'm the one that's going to be up every few hours to feed this baby. Not my husband, who may mean well.
Everything about it is on the woman. As much as like, and Josh is like an amazing parent. Like he does so much, and still it can never, ever be enough.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, even just in the beginning, like, when I found out I was pregnant, I'm like, my body's going to change. I'm going to be looked at differently. I have to step away from my career. I'm going to be judged. I'm this, you know, all this kind of stuff. Then you get in. I had to sit in this one particular chair because I had difficulty breastfeeding. So when I had to breastfeed, I had to leave if we had guests who were there to help.
Oh, the helpers.
Not really
fuck
help.
Them. I tell them, don't come visit me. Stay the fuck away for the first 90 days. Don't bring me shit.
It's like,
I don't want it.
Don't even, I was like, I don't want my parents to come. I don't want anyone. I don't want any, I'm like, a bus will have come and run me over. I'm not going to be pleasant to be around.
No.
So just, yeah, all of that. And
so
then,
what was your difficult, first of all, I mean, I don't know anybody that's like, breastfeeding was easy. I just latched them on and then I left. Like, that's the myth of it, is that it should be natural.
It's natural.
Yeah, and you're like, bitch, it is hard. I had like several people trying to help me.
Yeah, we had a lactation, a couple in the hospital, and then we had some come to the house.
Same.
And I was like, there was also some woman, because he had jaundice, so this woman who was a lactation consultant came to set up the thing for his jaundice treatment at home. And then this bitch took my baby from my arms and said, you're doing this wrong. And I literally was like all that, like literally flipped the switch of like mama bear. And she took him and was like holding him like, you need to slow your roll. Like I was like, give me my child back. Get the fuck out my house. Don't look me in the eye while you're walking out. Like, it was a lot.
She took it. And especially when you're in a hormonal haze. I mean, you literally have your insides come out of you in a push, or I don't know, or an incision, and everything that's in you is now out.
Yeah.
It's a mind fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So you're already vulnerable. Okay, so you're, the breastfeeding is an inequality. You're right, the ruining of your body. And it's funny because, it's not funny, it's just no one says anything, that your body gets restructured.
Yeah, for life. Like, it's just changed now. I'm like, what? Nobody told me this stuff. Like, my hair changed, my curls changed, and I was like, what is happening? My curls, there was a straight period where my hair was just like straight, basically. I'm like, no, I'm like, my curls. So I mean, that's so superficial, but like that of many things, you know.
But it's kind of on a, like, I was thinking about that today on a philosophical level. Like, you create a new life, and that life is like, you create it, and then it's taken, like, it takes a piece of you.
Yeah.
Quite literally, those babies, every one you're going to have, or whatever, takes something from the mother.
Yeah.
And they do. They transform you. Each baby is transforming me. And so I'm different. I'm different than I was 4 years ago.
Do you feel like looking back, are you like, look at me go? Like, I'm different, like, and I'm amazing? Or are you like, I miss that? Because that's how there's certain things where I'm like, oh, God, I miss that thing. You know what I mean? But then I'm also like, but I feel so much stronger as a woman in other ways. I don't know.
I think I miss, of course. I mean, there are parts of me that I'll never, will just never be again. I look back and I go, like, what did we do with all that free time?
I know. You, I was like, remember when I thought I didn't have time for things? What? Where did what was I doing?
Yeah. But for me, I think it's, I lost the shit I didn't need about myself.
Mm.
I was very much more anxious and neurotic and me, my career, my need. And I think, looking back, an uglier person in some ways, and children made me a better version.
They have to.
I'm not sure I miss what what did I lose? I lost smoking cigarettes and drinking and smoking dope, you know, partying. That was cool. It was fun. Freedom.
Yeah. That's the thing I miss. I mean, there's a bit of me that's still wrestling with the freedom thing.
Ugh.
Because I'm like, how do I have a career? I want to tour this. And I'm like, I can only go certain, because my husband has a proper job. Like, I can't just be like, you take the kid for a week and I'll go and
we'll talk.
Tour.
We'll talk. Yeah. I'll explain it to you. Yeah. How much does he make?
He works in nonprofit.
Fuck no. Yeah, first of all, tell him to quit that. He's got to go work a fancier gig. But the career stuff, I will say, someone told me this, Al Madrigal. He said, babies are blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have them, your career will open up in new ways. And I think that's actually true, because I used to take every gig before I had children. Yeah, I'll do a week in Kansas City. Yeah, I'll fucking be there Wednesday and I'll leave on Monday.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go do this and this. And then I had children and I was like, fuck yourself. I'm not doing Sundays. I'm flying in Thursday, Friday. And like, I'm 72 hours out and then I'm home.
Yeah.
And once I set those boundaries, it took an adjustment, and then all of a sudden people will start meeting those demands if you set your bar differently.
I think it's like having I haven't gotten to the point,
at least in our business. I can't say for other things, for fucking normal people.
I don't know if it's because of the quarantine happened right when it was like time for all this stuff, but like I'm like, I have to just like step out with the faith that those needs will be met, because I feel this, like, I need to go out and do this. I miss this. I want to go out. And now I can't. Like, you know, it's illegal to go out and do this stuff right now. But I think everyone in the entertainment industry anyway.
Did you hear the gurgling?
Yeah. I like how you looked at the mic like the mic did.
The mic, you're like,
what is your problem?
What?
But, like, everyone says you just don't care as much if you get that. People are like, well, we don't want you if you're going to do that. You're like, okay, fine.
Bye.
And you just do the things you want to do. And people end up paying you more for those things.
Oh, can you speak closer into the mic?
Oh, sorry.
Or bring the mic. You can move it, the arm, so then you can show a little bit more. Yeah, and you're also going to find we'll have a business chat on show business chat for sure. But opportunities will present themselves when the time is right. The time is garbage right now, frankly. Yeah. It's not you. It's this. The world is upside down.
I know. Yeah.
But think of this time as valuable that you're never going to get back, you know, this first year with your baby. So it's kind of a blessing.
I have a good excuse to not be doing shows and be home with my kid.
Great.
So it's great. Yeah.
And you lose that time. And like last night, our 4-year-old wanted to sleep with us. And I was like, yes, because you're not going to be four forever. Yeah. And you're going to be 40 and hairy. And I don't want to sleep with you.
And if you want to sleep with me, then that's going to be an issue.
I know, right? Oh, fuck. So let's talk about the uglier side of. I mean, look, again, this is June 3rd. I don't even know if the United States of America will exist by the time this airs.
Seriously.
Who knows what the... So you're Canadian, you've been raised in Canada, and now you're in our country. My Canadian friends...
Just big
sigh. Yeah. And my Canadian friends, every time something happens, they text. We have a friend in Winnipeg, Shane, and who I did Road Rules with, actually. Shane's always like, what the fuck, dude? What is wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not me.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not, but everyone I know is like, it's not them. I'm like, who
and
who the fuck is it? Like, look, can we identify these people and be like, hi, do you need a hug? Do you need us to hold your hands? Do you need help? Because like, it's just too much at this point. But I'm like, part of me, people keep asking, are you going to go back to Canada? And I'm like, I can, because I'm a citizen there. But at the same time, I'm like, but I'm not going to run away from this. Like, if we just all run away, then that doesn't make this situation better or go away or shift or change. And we're all humans. There's got to be some sort of common ground that we can find.
Yeah.
This is me speaking from a place of ideology.
Well, I mean, look, isn't it part of it? Listen, our country is decidedly anti-intellectual. I think there's been an anti-intellectualism trend in like since the late 80s, 90s. It's cool to be cowboy. It's cool to not give a fuck. Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
That's ingrained in us. And education, you know, that's like number one, to educate people on systemic racism and all that stuff. But anyway, look, as a mother.
Yes.
You're.
It's a whole other thing. Right?
You're tasked with this impossible thing that you have to raise your kid with a different set of guidelines. You have to teach your boy to be afraid of things that
he shouldn't have to be like. And it's hard as well, as I mentioned before we started actually recording, I don't even know all those things yet, right? Like, I'm a woman, so I don't know the man side of it.
Right, you're just avoiding rape.
Right, like, yeah. I can just teach him to not do the things onto women that I've experienced.
Right, because my husband's like, because I'll tell my husband, like, oh, when I walk to my car at night, I'm like, is this too rapey? Should I have someone walk me? And he's like, I never think about
that. Yeah, they don't, that's not a thing that ever goes through the mind. Oh. But like.
Sorry, I'm unplugged. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
The idea that like I have to then explain to him how to react if you get stopped by the police for no reason. I don't know. I have to ask somebody that stuff, right? And like. I'm mixed. My kid is even more mixed. So is he going to be seen as black? Is he not going to be seen as black? Is he going to identify as a black man or is he not going to? Like, it's just all these things that are so complex. And in a world that seems to hate black men and like a country that hates black people, you know, a child is innocent kid.
No.
Yeah. Not you. Come not on. Everyone. But you know what I mean?
Come
like,
on. No, the systemic racism. Yes, I
it's
know.
Like, it's
police
built-
brutality.
I mean, slavery.
Yes,
someone posted
I remember
this.
That.
Someone posted a great meme, and it was a black mom who I've had interactions with, and she just put white people being enraged that black people are protesting and looting is absurd. Y'all stole us.
Oh.
And I was like, preach.
Oh.
Like, what a thing, right? Like, isn't that, remember that, how you stole everybody who then built the country a little bit and then you, I can remember that thing. It's like,
it's payback.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I'm talking about this from sort of almost like this outside perspective because I didn't grow that, live this experience, but now I am. So
what
it's
was
learning.
It like in Canada then? How come the Canadians have figured this shit
because
out?
Canadians are, the systematic racism is just against Indigenous people instead of black people as like the
against,
main target.
Oh, right. Yes.
So it's just a different target, but it's the same shit.
It's the same shit, different toilet.
Seriously, it really is. And I'm like, there's racism against black people and, you know, that kind of stuff, but not like here. It's just the black people of Canada are Indigenous people. They were,
gotcha.
Instead of being stolen and brought here, their land and everything was stolen from them by just someone invading, you know. It's
right.
The same same idea though.
Fuck, man. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, because on social media, like if you post something, you see people's comments and you're like, why, who is not for the ending of police brutality? Like who is not for this? And I think, I don't know. I can't really, oh my God, I'm going to cry now. I can't, especially as someone like I grew up in Los Angeles and we're very, for the most part, progressive.
Yeah.
And, Rodney King happened in 92 and that was horrifying. And then for me to live through this as an adult, again, is just like horrifying.
Yeah.
And when people are like, well, all lives matter. Like, dude, no, that's not the point. Like, this is really targeted towards a specific group
of
people here.
This is why I think people talk about Black Lives Matter. I think this is why feminism came up, because these lives are valued at a different level. So until all the lives are valued at the same level, then we can say all lives matter, because that is true, right? But your life already matters as a white person in the system. Like, it's already the sort of the default thing that it's like catered toward. So until everybody else is also part of that default, then yeah, we need to focus on bringing up equality, bringing up everyone to the same level before you need to pick, like, get the drowning people before you bring the champagne on the boat. You know what I mean? Like,
well, how do we do it though? That's the, what can I do? What can I do as a white mom in LA? Tell me what to do.
Many things about this, right? The first one is,
right.
The first thing is, the first thing that people can do is recognize that it's not always a black person's responsibility to explain what people should do, right? Because black people are exhausted for good reason.
I asked you, what's the question you don't want me to ask you? And what's the question?
The question is, how are you? How are you? And I'm like,
with their fucking pie eyes.
I legit, right, like anime eyes. I got so many people asking that, and I know it comes from love and support. And
yeah,
also,
I'm a dope. Help me not
literally,
be a dope.
I cut and pasted the same response to every single person.
Tell me what it is.
Okay, that I would respond.
Tell me what to do.
What to do. First of all, don't be racist.
Okay.
Number one.
Check. I think
don't
I'm
be
trying.
Racist.
I don't know.
Talk to your kids about. Yes. Like, what's going on, honestly, because we can't just be like, don't see color, because that's bullshit, because everyone has color and everyone's treated differently by the color and the sex and the gender and all these things. So talking about that and why it's unfair, and it's okay to not have the answers. It's okay to not know, but like, Google history, you know, like read up on history and understand why people feel this way. Understand that like all of this police brutality and all of the sexism and racism and stuff that's going on isn't new. This has always been going on. Just now people have phones to catch it. Like, how many people have died under a knee of a cop before this?
Yeah.
Many.
Right.
You know? One thing that I was like, think about the actual person. Like, people might be upset about all the stuff that's going on. But when you boil it down, like, you think about George Floyd. Think about him as a person in his last moments. I'm going to cry.
I know. And he wasn't even... Stop it. Don't even look at me. And you see, I saw the video of him... before, and it's not like he was unruly. He was 46, so the guy is not out there looking to fight.
No,
do you know what I mean? The guy was like chilling. He was chilling.
And the offense was he was using a counterfeit 20 that they don't know if he knew it was counterfeit. Like a $20 bill and almost 9 minutes of kneeling on his, like, that just can't be okay for anybody. Put someone you know there, and just how do you feel? And then just like think about that, like. That could be anybody. I think having a kid, I'm like, everybody is an innocent human being.
Yes.
Like, everybody learned that this was their hand at some point. Everybody learned how to, like, poop and how to do these things. Like, even the people we hate, like, I'm like, these people who are saying these things, I feel hatred. But then I'm like, oh, right. Like, they learned this was their hand, too, just like my kid is. And I have to have, like, compassion and humanity for the people who are being violent and doing these things, because otherwise it's just the same stuff over and over in a different direction.
Yeah. I know. Watching that. It's true, because when you become a mom too, everybody is somebody's child.
Yeah.
Everybody. Even like you said, the dum-dum.
Yeah.
Just saying crazy shit. You're like, somebody raised you wrong, dude. Someone told you something that's not accurate.
Exactly. It's like, it might not have been their fault the first few times, because that was just ingrained in like the bias of your parents or your environment or whatever. And then at some point, hopefully, when you become an adult who has choice, then you realize through meeting people and hearing that you have a choice in that, and that stuff doesn't necessarily have to be true, and that, like, we can find a way forward. We don't have to lash out. If someone stabs you, you don't have to stab them harder. Like, let's just heal the wounds of everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's hope our leadership.
Hope and our leadership right now.
Oh, hope, goodness, but yeah, I know. Joke. I mean, look, not this time around. But mm-hmm. you know, I don't know.
We have to have hope, though, right? Like, there's otherwise, what are we doing? So
yeah, and look, everything changes. Who knows what things will look like in 1 year from mm-hmm. today? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. We just hope for the best. But thank God for this generation who's willing to go out there and protest. And
yeah, I like that people are starting to. They were saying before the protests and the looting and whatever that is. Now I've heard a lot of media calling it the civil rights movement. And I was like, yes, because that's what it is. We talk about that and how unfair things were back then. And we forget that it's the same thing.
It's extension. It's another wave of it, which is really interesting. And now I'm looking at it in the context of the women's stuff, what you were saying. Like, mm-hmm. so Me Too was just like another wave.
Absolutely.
Of the women's movement. And now here comes civil rights. And they kind of go together, don't they? They did last time. And you know, we're just getting better and better, hopefully, evolved. Jesus Christ. I don't know. And let's hope that your kid won't have to experience the same.
I hope. So far, he doesn't know anything that's like bad.
That's the thing.
It's
they
great.
Don't fucking know. My 4-year-old, my 2-year-old, they don't know.
It's beautiful. That's what we should be putting out there. Like, let's all go back to this state where we can just be like happy and smile. Someone smiles at him, he smiles back. He doesn't give a shit who they are and what their thoughts are and whatever. Like, he smiles back. Can we all just smile back at each other?
You just can. Do that? Yeah, fucking. We can. We can. I mean, we can eventually. Yeah. Anyway, should we do some really important stuff here?
Yeah.
Besides solving the world's problems. Aisha, I wish you could tour right now. You're so funny. I loved your CD.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I listened to it in my car. It's so good to, I love it when a female comic has so much to draw from, because you've got like cultural and then you've got this mom.
Yeah.
And you really are so open about motherhood and like all the ugly bits that no one talks about, which is fucking amazing.
I'm like, I feel like my husband has signed on for this, so he's on. And my kid doesn't know any better yet, so I can say whatever I want right now.
And you will. So let's do, first of all, can I show Leanne's Birkenstock back to this really quickly? Because I want to thank the woman that found it on HSN, the Home Shopping Network. Are you a fan of home shopping?
I have never, ever, ever bought anything, but I love it.
Me neither. So here's the model, and I have to say, those look really cool.
She looks cool with them on, yeah.
But that, nope. No. And then I'm not sold on that.
That's the hippy dippy.
Yeah, dirty, dirty box. And then that one, that's okay. That one's cool. But anything looks cool on like a 5'10", 110-pound person, always.
I would like to know if it's possible to make Crocs look good. That's what I would like to know.
That's the next challenge. Uh-huh. The answer is no. Google Crocs. Let's see Crocs on a model.
Like sexy Crocs. Doesn't those two words don't... Mm-mm. Even if you Google will be like, we have nothing.
They're like, bitch, this is a fantasy. So I think you and I are both in agreement that the Croc is simply not
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, nothing good.
I will concede that Leanne's Birkenstock is attractive. I agree. I like that one. But the Croc?
No. Even the name Croc.
Croc. Yeah, it's not... It's meant for like chefs, right?
Yeah, chefs and gardeners. Isn't that the whole...
Right.
But nobody else.
And the irony of the Croc is that the material is plastic, which is it makes your foot real sweaty.
Exactly.
And then
the worst.
But then they're like, but to counteract the sweatiness, we're going to poke a bunch of holes
at the top so it doesn't drain. It's like you need them on the bottom to just let that sweat drip out.
Right. And when you're walking around in public, you can step on stuff and it'll go right into your foot. So it offers no protection and it just makes your foot sweat.
It's horrible.
I don't understand this. What's your biggest fear as a mom? What do you think? Are you worried about the career? Are you worried about being unfuckable?
No. My husband will definitely fuck me.
Great. That's,
yeah.
How's your meow? Did you do vaginal?
Meow.
Or did you do...
Oh, I got you. I did vaginal.
Wow.
And I mean, here's the thing. I had a mirror right afterwards, which was a mistake.
Bad idea. I've done
Bad
that
mistake,
too.
Bad mistake, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. God, what is that? Oh my God. It's like the ginger that they serve to you at sushi. What's up? Oh my God. But a little bit darker. Because I'm
blasted.
You know.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But it's amazing what bodies can do.
I know.
Like just now it's quite tidy and delicious. And it's fine. you know, every once in a while I have to like scoot around a little bit. But other than that, not too shabby.
No cuts, no tears.
I did have a little, he came out sideways and got stuck and they had to push on my belly to get him out. So it was a long time. But I had a couple tears, but I don't even actually know where they were because I got stitches and then I couldn't see the stitches.
Great.
And they healed so nicely.
Great.
I think parts of it I think look better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is kind of nice.
They re-engineered your meows.
Yes.
That's huge.
So, but yeah, everything else, and can I just say, maybe this is way too much information.
No, it's never.
But how people talk about how like you are going to have vaginal dryness and all these things. I'm like, the opposite. Like, I don't know.
Really?
I'm like a real juice puss.
Really?
Yeah.
Your vagina's juicier. It's Let's ask Dr. Drew. Write that down on top. I'm going to write it down for the Drew.
It's the panty soup effect that's going on. Yeah. So,
are you on a birth control now that's changing now?
No. I decided I didn't want to do any more chemicals. And so I am on nothing.
So maybe have you not been on nothing before? Do you know what I mean? Were you on a pill or something?
I stopped the pill before. We were just doing the old pull and pray for a long time. How we didn't get pregnant, I don't know, because then the first time we tried, we got pregnant.
Yeah,
so it was when we got pregnant, like, holy shit, imagine, like, think about all the times when like we should have like really had him. But yeah, no, I mean, everything down there is quite
interesting.
Nice.
I wonder what that might, it might be hormonal.
Maybe, because I'm still breastfeeding. So that could be it.
Yeah, and don't buy that stuff that it acts as a birth control breastfeeding.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a lot of women say that, but then they get pregnant.
And also, I got my period. I was like, another whole, like, almost year of not going to get my period. I got it, like, after 3 months. It came back so quickly. I was so mad.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. But,
fuck.
You know, at least I'm like, okay, I can still, we want to have another one. So at least there's indication that's possible.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
When do you think you're going to try again?
Our plan was to start when he turned a year, which is next month. So, but I've delayed it maybe until late summer, early fall is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Bang, bang. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's easier to stay in diapers. Like, just stay in the trenches.
Yeah. Like, because I'm like, then they'll be, that part will be over sooner when they're closer together.
Yeah.
But it's going, like, I was like, I don't actually know if I have the capacity for this one child. Like, how will two be? I don't know how I can do that. But everyone just says, like I didn't think I could have a kid, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I've never really wanted to have kids. I never really wanted to be married. And now here I am. My heart's expanded. I'm like, I would do anything for this kid. So you bring another one in. I'm sure that's going to happen again. Like,
it does.
You would be able to speak on that.
You just go, oh, my God, now I'm into this one, too. Like, you just expand with it. But I'm not going to lie. That first year is cray cray
when you've got two. I can't even
toddler
imagine.
And a newborn, there you will have buyer's remorse. There will be days where you're like, are you fucking kidding me? We did this. And
like,
we
why
did this?
Yeah, so many people told us not to, and we were like, well, like, I considered it for a hot second when I was really having a hard time, but now I'm like, we want to, let's do it, you know.
Well, the way I see it is, like, your life's already in the toilet. Like, the way I was.
What's one more piece of shit falling on you at this point, right? Like,
because it kind of is. And then once they get, like, ambulatory, once that second one is, like, up.
Yeah.
Seriously, once that year mark hit with Juju, my second baby, I was like, oh, dude, we're fucking, now it's just chaos all the time. And you're used to the chaos.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just do it. You only live once. You don't want to have the regret of, like, should we have gotten pregnant again. Just
exactly. And who knows when I, like, these, I don't know how many eggs are left in there, so I'm like,
that's
let's
true.
Do this if we're gonna do it, because I don't want to be like trying for a long time and find out that we just can't, you know what I mean?
That's
I'd rather
true.
Just do it and
let it go. Bang bang. So let's get to some of the, so we did the follow-up of the cloth diapers, we did that. Why don't we do some, let's do mom hacks. We haven't done that in so long. I want to do mom hacks. Mom hacks.
That was so
good. That was a beautiful voice. Now, you mentioned you had a great mom hack.
Yes. So we live in a condo, and because of the quarantine, it's been like indoors all the time. You can't go to the parks in my area because they're all shut down and stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends are posting pictures of them, like, their baby around the same age as my kid first time in the pool. Oh, what a, like, quarantine's so hard. I'm like, screw you with your beautiful yard and your pool. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, he needs to have a pool experience. And so I took one of those, like, bins you store under your bed, all
yes,
your
from
clothes.
From IKEA. I like them.
Exactly.
Huge fan.
Who knew? They were a bin and a beach. That's what it is. And I dumped his clothes and I brought it outside into our very small amount of shade, filled that puppy with water, put a few toys in there. And I even put him in a sun hat and the sun, like the, you know, rash guard. And this kid is like, he was thrilled. He was at the beach. He was like a surfer dude. Like, he was loving it. And I posted a picture to my mom's group like, yeah, me too. First time in the pool, bitches. Like, I was like, you will not steal my joy. But I'm like, yeah, you just gotta, you know, DIY things sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Yes. They love those bins. And another hot tip, mom tip, those same bins that you put under, you can fill them with flour and then put vegetable oil and then like mush it up so that the flour is a bit tackier, mm-hmm. and then put like little dinosaurs and toys and make it a sandbox.
Ah, wait, so is it like wet though when you mush?
It's not just wet, but just makes it coagulate like a little.
Okay, yeah.
So that it's not just flour poofing everywhere, because my kids fuck up, they'll fuck up some flour. You could put rice and beans and they can, I mean, if he's not eating it, I know there's a.
He definitely will be, yeah. But I mean, it's food. Right?
Yeah, it's so edible. That's fine. They need to build up that immune system. Mm. But that's a good hack. So yeah. For those of you who want to make your own pool. Okay, so here's one from Amanda. To expand on your excellent hose advice. Oh, another hot tip.
Uh-huh.
A hose. Just get a fucking hose.
Oh,
that's
my God.
All my boys
I was
want.
Just like, just get yourself some hose. I was like, oh, a hose. Got it. Okay,
hose,
got it.
Hose. A garden hose is the hottest item in our home.
Like attached to water or just on its own?
No, just attached to water. You turn on the hose, you let them get down to the diapies, uh-huh. and then they just play for hours, man.
It.
And bubbles. They love blowing bubbles. So here's the... Okay, hose advice. My 3.5-year-old son, who she gave Zooey Deschanel bangs to... in the quarantine.
Amazing.
Loves to write on the fence with chalk and spray it off with the hose. We literally can kill an hour doing this. So
wow.
They wrote, piss on me, beat me. That's a Your Mom's House reference. And there's their boy with the, there you go. This
I
is my reality
that.
Right here.
That's a great hack, actually. Now I just need a yard and a fence.
I know you need, do you have a porch? You could even hose a porch.
We have a balcony, but it's been deemed unsafe. So
Whoopsie. Well, maybe not yet.
Yep.
But there you go. That's an excellent mom hack.
That's great.
What else did I? Oh, man. There are these. I told you guys about the water balloons you just attach to a hose and they fill like
I've
50
seen
at
those.
Once. Those are the best, dude.
Yeah.
I can't recommend those enough. Oh, the boppy. Did you use a bop? Are you
yes.
still breastfeeding?
Yes, still breastfeeding.
Are you into the boppy?
The boppy I'm more into for me laying on the ground and cushioning my own head because I felt like it didn't do shit, personally.
I agree.
Right? But our lactation consultant
yeah, they
came
love
by. No, she was like, doesn't like the boppy. She was anti-boppy.
Oh.
She introduced us to something called the breast friend. And it was like a stiffer version of a boppy that clipped around you. And then if you stood up, it was like you were a cigarette girl from back in the day.
Perfect.
It stays put so you can like use it as a shelf.
Is this it?
That is the thing right there.
Dude, why did nobody tell me about the breast friend?
It was great. We have one for stay at home and one that you blow up when we used to travel a lot with our babe.
Fuck.
On the plane. Best thing ever.
Bro, look at that. Oh, if you want to know my little breastfeeding hack, I don't know how big your cans are, but mine are fucking huge.
Mine used to be. Now they're gone.
Now they're gone,
they're
yeah.
Gone.
But they used to give you those, when you pumped, those bras that you could shove the pump into,
uh-huh.
and then you could like pump with your hands free. Yeah, right. That never fit me because my tits were so big.
Yeah.
I would take tank tops with those shelf bras built in
uh-huh.
from Amazon, and then you just cut a hole in the nipples.
You did the Mean Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Mean Girl. You Mean Girl to your shirt.
Yes.
That's a good hack.
Yeah, and then you put the pump in there. And then I would just be able to sit
do your
and
thing.
Pump my tits.
I love it.
Yeah,
it
was
Isn't
pretty
Isn't pumping
rad.
The worst, though?
I
was like such an,
it.
It's like another job they threw on top of being all, yeah, it was
it
too much.
It sucks. Everything sucks.
You can also use it when you don't have kids. Just put around there, and then you can put like a little paper plate with snacks when you walk around doing things around the house.
Perfect.
That's great.
Did you use the, what's that, pillow? The long one you put the baby
oh,
in. The Dock-a-Tot?
Dock-a-Tot.
Yeah.
So one of our friends gave us one, and it was the thing we put him in all the time.
The Dock-a-Tot's
great.
A great one. It's a little
really
pricey, But if you can put that on your list of stuff other people should buy you, get a Dock-A-Tot.
Wow, we got so many things given to us because all of our friends just had kids before us. So I have no clue the prices for anything. Oh. I am like amazed it cost that much money.
Oh, this fucking pillow? $200. It's a fucking pillow.
It's that baby does look very happy though. I'm like,
but it's worth every penny. I really like that. Now, are you co-sleeping? What did you do?
We did the we got given to us a Halo bassinet.
Love the Halo.
That glide, you know, pulls right up, and then one side squishes, so you can just roll them right onto your boob in the middle of the night. That was a godsend. It was amazing because it's right there, but there's no danger of, like, I was like, I just want to snuggle him forever. My husband's like, you're going to kill our baby. But then you get to be close enough to, like, you know, paw at the mesh and look at him while he's sleeping. I loved it.
I was so reckless with Ellis. I would breastfeed him. I would get like a Lazy Boy. Uh-huh. I love fucking Lazy Boys. They rock. And I just crank the Lazy Boy back, plunk him on my chest, and I would fall asleep with him like that. But I would tie him to me with one of those muslin rags, muslin things.
Swaddles.
So I was like, he's not going to roll. He can't fucking roll yet.
Can I just say, in Nigeria, that's how they carry on babies all the time. My mom carried me around with just strapped onto her.
Yeah.
And then throw the boob in the mouth. It's fine.
I know. Americans are so fucking... know what? I used to have, too, that I gave my kids? The Jolly Jumper. That's Canadian.
Just got one. Like the old school. They're banned, aren't they? They're like banned in so many places.
In America.
Oh, they're banned here.
Yeah, I had to get it from Canada.
Oh, I'm like...
Look at that shit. That's the jam.
It is the best. Ours is the one that goes over the door. When I put it on, I'm like, this is it? This is the only thing that's going to... He loves it.
They love it. Now, I got the one with the stand because we didn't have doorways that could fit for some reason. And I even got that floor mat to make the noise.
Oh, it makes a noise when they jump on it?
It makes noise. It's so cute. I mean, this will buy you at least 45 minutes of time.
It's
so great.
One day I hope to have the joy that my son has jumping in that thing.
I know.
Oh my gosh, it's the best.
I wish they made adult Jolly Jumpers.
I wish they made adult versions of many things for babies. Know. Like the carrier. Just I want my husband to carry me around in that carrier. Just like full on.
How do you feel, baby facing out or baby facing in?
I would love so much for him to face in. He does not want it. He's a very big explorer. He wants to see everything. Yeah. I want him to snuggle with me. He's not a snuggler.
No.
He wants to crawl over me, punch me in the face, like like squeeze my nipple really hard with his little nails and then walk away. I'm like, I feel so used and abused, and I love you. Give me more. You know? It's crazy.
Nobody tells you how abusive babies are, and they laugh.
Oh, yeah. In your face, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts.
My baby, my 2-year-old will scratch my face, and then I'll go, ow, and he'll go, funny. Funny. Pulls mommy's hair. Funny.
Yeah.
He's such a dick.
Yesterday, I had my tank top on, and he was snapping my bra strap like the old, like, you know, when back in the day in like a cartoon in like the 50s they'd be like, hey toots, and you know that was my kid yesterday. Aww. Just dying laughing, pulling this over and over.
See, they're so mean. Oh, and they think it's so funny. They're such dicks. All right. Let's do what would Christina P do, you know, help me give people advice.
I love it.
Are you ready? Totally. Gosh, I don't even know if I'm qualified.
You got mom questions? CP's got mom answers.
Mom answers.
What would Christina P do?
I like that announcer. Okay. This one's pretty interesting. Did you do baby bump pictures? Or could you even?
My sister-in-law is a professional photographer. So every time she came over, she would take beautiful pictures.
Aww.
But we took Polaroids every Sunday of my belly for the whole time. So now I have like a flip book, which is that's one of my biggest recommendations. Get a Polaroid camera and just take a picture every Sunday.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's great. And it's easy and it's fun and something to look back on.
Oh, I wish I would have done that.
Hey, you know what? We will get some stuffing. We'll recreate it. I'll bring my Polaroid.
I wish. Oh, I'll tell you a hack I do. I don't know if I've said it on the show. Open an email account for your child.
We did it.
Oh, you did it too? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then you email them every so often. Like, here's what you're doing. Here's what's going on.
I'm like, we haven't even done that. We just opened one to get his name so we can get it. I was like, brand him right now. But that's so good. Like, then you can, that's such a good idea.
And then when they're, you know, 18, you give them the password and then they can read what was going on in their lives from the time they were born.
That will make me cry for sure. Yeah. I'm like, that's such a beautiful idea.
Because when they start talking and doing stuff, you're going to forget how they would say things and do silly things. So it's nice to remember all the phrases and their obsessions that they get into.
We have a 5-year journal that I write, like it just has a few lines each night. And then I've been writing so far every night for almost a year now, just something new that's going on, the things he's doing. So kind of like that.
I know. My emails lately have been like day 90 of the quarantine.
It's like a sci-fi, like, you know, log of,
you guys are playing with snails again. And sorry you're not educated, but your schools aren't open. All right, here we go. It says, Main Mommy, please help. This is my first baby. I'm due in about 2 weeks, and I'm fucking over the fact that everyone loses their shit over pregnant women's bellies. All of a sudden, they are all super pumped about my body, and it makes me so uncomfortable. My aunt asked me to send a picture, and I told her, no, it's not really my thing, and I think it's weird. And her response was, oh, okay, are you feeling okay? How do I tell people, specifically family, to fuck off without saying fuck off? Keep them high and tight. Love you, Mommy. Alexa, what do you think?
That's a great question. I don't think that you have to explain yourself at all as a pregnant woman. And it's totally okay to be irrational, or what people think is irrational. So I'd say just tell them to fuck off.
Just fuck yourself.
Yeah. Because it's like people are like, oh, it's okay, she's pregnant. It's
She's people going through stuff. Do give you more leeway. Well, I remember she's in 2 weeks.
So more power to you. Do whatever the fuck you want right now, then.
I'm surprised you're able to type, let alone think a thought. But I remember I was about, 2 weeks due, and our friends came over, and we were in the pool, and we all took photos together, and my friend was like, can I put this on social media? And I was like, no, because I'm fucking fat and pregnant, and I'm in the last 2 weeks, and I look like shit. So I think anybody, Alexa, will respectfully understand that you're in the final 2 weeks, and any woman that's been pregnant knows that last month, you're not glamorous.
Yeah, you're not feeling good.
No, your feet are swollen baked potatoes, and you're blotchy, and you're fat, and... if they can't understand, just be honest and say, look, I really don't feel my most glamorous. I'd appreciate not sharing these photos, maybe.
That's like a really nice way to pose it to them. Because I literally am like, just write back, fuck you. And I think that's totally fair.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I know. That's comedian. But if you speak comedian, that's what we would say to each other. Fuck off.
Oh, yeah.
She's not into it. But just say, look, dude. Not feeling very cute. And I think anybody can relate.
And if they can't, then follow up with perhaps fuck off, fuck you. Exactly.
There you go. Oh, and P.S. Fuck you. Okay. Big problem here. My husband, my baby daddy, won't eat fruits or veggies. He never has, and I'm afraid for him. We are in our 30s now and parents. I've sent him, to the doctors, and they never say anything. And I'm afraid he will teach our 2-year-old bad food habits. Help. Piss on me, beat me, live. So what do you think? I mean, what is there to do?
I kind of think, I'm like, she's like, I sent him to the doctor. You don't have to, it's a grown person. Talk to them about how you're going to talk to your kid, because that's the only thing that really matters in this, I think. Right. Is like, you don't want your kid to not eat vegetables and fruit because daddy doesn't do that.
Right.
Like, who cares what? I mean, other than if he's sick. If he's got scurvy, sure, let's talk
about
it. He
will. I mean, if he's in his 30s, he will be sick by the time he's in his 40s and 50s.
So you talk about that, but like, you can't force anybody to do anything. I hate bananas. No one's going to make me eat a banana in my life. That's just it. It makes me gag when I smell them. Like, it's just never going to change.
Yeah.
So, and my husband was like, well, are we going to feed our kid bananas? Like, his biggest concern was if our kid was going to eat bananas. And I was like, you can when I'm out of the house. But if that kid spits up banana on me, you're going to clean up 2 people. Because I'm going to be barfing too.
It. Yeah.
It's too much. But it's a compromise, I think.
It's a compromise.
It's a pretty big compromise.
He can feed them bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, look, here's what I love to do. You can also teach your kids via negativa, as I like to say. That's Latin for the negative. You know what I like to do is I say, Ellis, you see that? And now Julian, look at that guy smoking cigarettes. That's a dum-dum. Don't do that. You see that guy walking in the street, not on the sidewalk? That guy's a dum-dum.
That guy's a dum-dum. So do your kids ever go to them and be like, hey, you're a dum-dum?
No.
Not yet. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And that's fine. I'll be like, well, you fucking are. Okay. Why don't you walk on the sidewalk, dipshit? But in this case, you can say, you see what daddy's doing? That's not smart. And I say, shame daddy a little bit in front of the kid, and then he might get the picture.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of shame goes a lot of ways.
It really does.
A lot of ways. And, you know, You can't change the husband, but you can shame them in front of the kid. And that's the best part.
And don't you want to do that anyway, right? Yeah. This is just an excuse.
Yeah.
To let
to
you
shame
to
your
that.
Spouse. Mm-hmm. You should always make them feel like shit. Okay. How about this one? My son is 3 and I feel like this is the age where he truly acquired the foundation for his personality, and he is a fearless little mofo. I love it, but at the same time, as a self-proclaimed warrior, it's terrifying. Warrior, not warrior. I find myself telling him to be careful when he does some gnarly stuff, and sometimes he'll look at me and stop as if to say, never mind, and he won't even try it anymore. I want him to take chances and be brave, but I also want him to be safe. How can I convey that to him without projecting my own anxieties and worries on him? Help. Okay, good question, because you've got a boy, and once they are up and running,
he'll literally crawl off a like a ledge right now and doesn't even understand. But this is something I heard that I found to be so interesting, and it's a lot more work than just being like, hey, be careful.
Yeah.
It's instead of saying be careful, because it doesn't actually give any instruction.
Right.
Like, what do you actually want that kid to do? Or can you give other options? Like, oh, is there a different way you could get down the stairs other than head first? Or is there another way you can do that? Or I'm a little worried you're going to fall there. Can we try this thing? A lot more work, a lot more words, a lot more like patience as a parent.
Yes.
But I think it will, if you explain to kids what the thing you're feeling is, like, I'm worried you're going to do this. So, you know, they might still do it, but they might take a different option because they're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Let me do this.
That's a really good point. It's a little more... Yeah, you have to be more than just like, no, stop, you know. But here's the good news with boys, at least mine. I tell them to stop doing shit and they'll just keep doing it. Like, you don't really have to wire
you have
that.
No control.
Yeah, don't worry. He's not going to stop being gnarly. But like you said, I think what we do is sometimes walk them through the consequences too. Like, hey, Ellis, if you keep walking on the side of this couch here, what do you think might happen?
Exactly. And then they get to be like, think about it. Because I think it's like, kids just don't think about that stuff. They're just having a great time. And then they fall and they're like, how did that happen? And you're like, well, we could have talked about this, I guess. And
You know. You have to teach them cause and effect. Yeah. And so you can be like, there's a way you can do this stuff, but you just have to do it smart, but wisely. Oh, let's do voicemail. Let's do a voicemail. Jeans.
Hey, Mommy. Samantha here from Maryland. I am not a mom, but I'm trying to be. And I know your sage advice is to get drunk and fuck a lot.
Yeah.
But I cannot drink because of a health condition. So if you have any other advice that might help my fiance and I get pregnant, I'd really love to hear it. Thank you so much. Keep it high and tight. Love you so much, Mommy. Bye.
I mean, have you heard of weed?
Also, watch some porn that you like and gets you, if you're into porn, watch some porn that you like to get you in the mood, to get you slush panties, and then you're going to want to fuck a lot more, right?
That's
and
true.
And the more you fuck, the higher the chances. If you're able to get pregnant, then the higher the chances.
There you go. But I recommend women drinking wine just to relax, because so much of the female anatomy, as Dr. Drew has told us, goes into relaxation. A lot of our functioning is so much better when one is relaxed.
Absolutely.
Also, science is on our side these days. I tell women to buy these ovulation sticks. I don't know if you did that.
We did not, but I have had friends who've used them.
Yeah, and it's really useful. You get these sticks, you pee on them or whatever, and it tells you, go fuck now.
Yeah.
And what you want to do even is bang a couple of days before you're fertile. That way the sperm's already in your fallopian tube when the egg comes out. A lot of people don't tell you that. Start banging before you ovulate. Therefore, there's all that lovely sperm there.
Right.
And your chances increase.
The sperm, in that way, are more of a gentleman because they're meeting the woman halfway.
I love that.
Right? They're getting in there to open the door. Hello, welcome. Hello. I'd love to make a baby with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And relaxation. And listen, whatever you do, that's really my point. I don't literally mean be an alcoholic. Do whatever you need to do to relax your body. Do you meditate? Are you exercising? Also, clean up your health. As you know, when you get pregnant, plan on getting pregnant. First of all, keep it in.
Totally.
You know, exercise now. Clean up your diet now. Get into good shape as best you can, because once you're pregnant, you're not going to start a health regime.
You're not supposed to start anything new. Yeah. As far as exercise is concerned, once you're pregnant, because it's just like, it can be dangerous.
Right.
So do it now. Do it then. Can I also suggest, too,
a way
of relaxing? Be warm. Because I never really thought about this, but You know, sometimes, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, if you've been laying out in the sun and you open up your legs and you get some sunshine on your hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And it feels so good.
So good.
And it always makes me be like, I want to fuck.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that is because when you're cold, just like any muscle, everything's going to contract. And you don't want to like open your legs and open your arms. You need to open up your body.
I love
be
it.
Be warm.
I love I like this. Okay, what if we combine forces, alcohol, warm, go on a vacation? Not now because we're in the pandemic, but
yes.
That's why vacation fucking is so great for baby making.
Yes, because you're, and also you're away from the everyday stresses and that relaxes you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So many things.
Yeah, but don't put pressure on yourself to conceive during the vacation. But just go, because that's when Tom and I started. We went to the Dominican Republic on my 35th birthday and I was like, let's just fuck, let's just see, you know, and it was the beginning of baby making. Without the pressure of like, we have to conceive.
That's, you can, there's nothing worse because your body, when you're stressed, chemically changes and makes it harder for you to do everything, including make a baby. So.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so stressed out in this whole pandemic and I'm just doing everything to not stay stressed. I got God. Okay. Well, should we do one more and then we'll let you get on with your life? I'm sure you missed your kid, right?
I'm like, I never wear my hair down. I'm wearing a dress. I'm wearing my favorite shoes. This is the this is me going out to the club right now. This is the club for me.
Well, wait until wait until normal life resumes. But I mean, yeah, my highlight was going to Target.
Right.
And like there was a Starbucks in my Target and I was like, oh yeah. Double whammy for this lady. Like it was on.
I just can't wait to go to a movie by myself.
Yeah.
When I can, because I'm like, it's dark, it's quiet, I'm alone, and I'm like, oh, no one can tell me I can't sleep. I can't, like, I'm like, it's just put me in a dark room by myself for 2 hours.
I know. And if I may write a recommendation to anyone that has a newborn or like a up to 1 year, if you can, not right now, pandemic, but when we resume to normal existence, give that baby to somebody for one night, to your mommy, to whoever, and go to a hotel for one night every now and then and just F and eat a good meal and sleep.
I've done it already where I went with my girlfriends on a trip, but now I need to do it with my husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that that's such a, it's hard to escape that and to really connect in certain ways with your partner when you're in the trenches.
Yeah.
So removing some of that stuff is like, oh.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It is. Even Tom and I, we put the babies down. We go up to the top of our rooftop and we have a drink sometimes and just like, oh, there's nobody crying right now. There's nobody screaming at me right now.
Yeah. And you both just look in each other's eyes and go, ah, I get it.
Sometimes we do. We're just like, I'm so fucking, these kids are just, but anyway, and then they're adorable. We still love them and all that shit. Anyways, Aisha, you're fantastic. Where can people find you?
They can find me all of my social media and my website is just my name, Aisha Alpha.
And how do you spell it so everybody knows?
A-I-S-H-A. Last name is A-L-F, like a Friday A.
Okay.
Sometimes people are Elsa. Alpha is so much cooler, right?
I get called Christine.
And you're like, there's another
a fucking A.
There's another letter, that a different vowel at the end.
Yeah, how do you not?
Yeah, so Aisha Alpha, they can find me.
The gram? You're on the gram?
On the gram. I'm at Aisha Alpha on the gram and on Twitter. And if you search Aisha Alpha on Facebook, that's me. If you search AishaAlpha.com, that's me. Good. If you search my name, you're going to find me.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
Check out all the parts, her comedy CD. She talks about motherhood and everything pertaining to that and her marriage. And we didn't even get into the fact that you married a white guy, which is kind of crazy, right? Not crazy, but.
Just keeping on that tradition of just changing it up.
That's so cool. Anyway, it was such a lovely, you're lovely. Please come back.
Yes, I would love to. This is great. Yeah. So fun.
You're awesome.
You all are too. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Well, until next time, stay cool, moms. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at. Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.